It's time for Twig. This week in Google, Jeff and Gina are here. We're going to talk about the new Galaxy S3 phone, some changes from Google in the maps on Android. And yes, now you can get Flipboard on your Android phone. It's all coming up next with Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 146, recorded May 9th, 2012. Come on, Eileen. This Week in Google is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage when you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code TWIG. And by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Ting is running a dump your contract contest and will buy out one winner's mobile phone service contract every day for the month of May. Visit Ting.com/DYC to enter. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, visit Squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIG5. And don't forget to ask for free domain registration with annual plan subscriptions. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show that covers not just Google, but the cloud, the internet, all the stuff that's happening in the social world as well. And we've got some real experts on hand, as always. Gina Trapani is here from smarterware.org, the co-founder, Hello. Founding editor of Lifehacker, and the author of thinkupapp.com. Hi, Gina.
Hi, great to be here. Happy to be here.
Happy and gay today. She's gay and happy.
Always gay and happy.
When did gay stop meaning happy? That's my question. It should still mean happy. One word does it all.
One word does it all. In my case, it does mean happy. as well as
gay. We were talking about the president's decision that, in fact, people of the same sex should be able to marry, but it's up to the states, really. Yeah. I ain't got nothing against it, but it's up to the states. Or something like that.
It's a journey of many small steps.
Yeah. It's politics. You know, it's politics.
And it's politics.
First, they said, Joe, I can just imagine this call. Joe, you got to do it. You got to go out there and take one for the president. So Joe Biden, like 3 days ago, says gay marriage is fine. And they said, somebody said, Mr. President, that's not sufficient. Oh, all right. Also with us,
Now on Twitter, the world is asking for Joe Biden to come out in favor of legalizing marijuana.
There you go. Joe's the guy. That's why you don't want to be vice president. Mr. Jeff Jarvis is here from BuzzMachine.com. He's a professor of journalism at the City University of New York. Have you been watching Veep, the new show?
Yes.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
With Elaine from Seinfeld as a vice president for an unnamed president of an unnamed party. But it's it's perfect for her because she's always a little bit angry about things anyway, right? Yeah. And she's just got no power. She keeps asking her assistant, has the president called? Her assistant says, no. She says, no, I don't think so. It's very funny. It's very funny. It's about...
It's one of those, it took about 10 minutes, 12 minutes to get you into the groove. And then once you were in the groove, they established everything and you knew the sense of humor. And I think it was very good.
Oh, it's just perfect for them. And they apparently improv a lot. So there's there's some wildly just kind of crazy moments that I just enjoy. Good. Well, I'm glad we got the TV critic to watch one of our shows, Gina.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking into.
I got support last week for Mad Men.
Really?
I got people saying you're right about Mad Men. Yeah.
Oh no, it's the greatest show ever made.
Yeah.
Easily.
I've heard undercurrents of it being overrated. I don't see it because I love it, but I've heard some people say, you know, this just isn't what it's cracked up to be.
It's not as good as I was looking back at the earlier seasons, and really, it was better in the first couple of seasons. Without January Jones, I don't like it quite as much. Although you got to love Zooby Zooby Zoo Lady, but I don't know. Anyway, enough of that silliness. We could talk about Glee some more, but...
We got to do a television show, clearly.
We clearly have to do a show. But then, Jeff, we'd have to make him watch TV, and he doesn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I do that.
What's your favorite show right now, Jeff?
Oh, Let's see. HBO, I end up watching. Not sure, actually.
you know, now that he's not a TV critic, Jeff, for how many years? You were decades you were a TV critic. So now he doesn't care anymore.
I had a crush on What's Her Name on Weeds. But it's
I love her, too. But, you know, Jennifer spoiled Weeds for me because she pointed out that she's always holding her Frappuccino with a claw. And now I can no longer watch that show.
That it, is so unattractive. She Mary, does always have
She does.
Coffee.
She has the claw. And I'm
That's
sure it's...
so she can do the sexy slurp with the straw.
I hate that.
Oh, no. It's very good. Oh, I,
you know,
no.
Me too. What's her name? Mary Louise Elizabeth Parker.
I'm quite enamored of her. I'm sorry, Leo. I'm leaving you now.
No, I'm in love with her, too. We could marry her together.
That's it. Like, yeah, because after all, once you go to gay marriage...
Now, it's animals, four at a time, whatever, anything goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Girls is very good. Bryce is liking Girls. Girls is taking a while to grow on me, but I'm kind of liking it. Game of Thrones, okay.
Yeah. That's because you read the book, right?
Game of Thrones is kind of sick.
Yeah, it's getting
dark. Disturbing. It's very disturbing and dark. All those heads on spikes are really getting to me. Enough with the heads on spikes. It was one thing to read it, another thing to see it.
I can't believe I'm liking the Big C.
You know, I didn't like. I like her.
I've gotten into it.
Have you? All right, I'll have to watch some more.
Nurse Jackie, I was not hot on.
Love Nurse Jackie.
Borgias.
Borges is great. Jeremy Irons, how can you not love Jeremy? Oh, Sherlock is the best show. Feld is right.
Sherlock is great.
The best show on television.
Modern Family, The Middle.
Wow. I love Modern Family.
Modern Family is okay for a network sitcom. It's okay.
Community.
Community is pretty good.
Oh, my God. Community is amazing.
That's a sleeper, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if people know that that's a good show.
A lot of people DVR that show, so they don't.
They'll know someday.
Yeah.
The one I don't like much is... which gets me in trouble with people, not as much as men.
Don't say Smash.
No. Of course not. I wouldn't say that.
Love Smash.
Sorry.
Smash is glee for grownups.
It is.
It's so good.
For theater geeks.
So good.
Parks and Rec.
No. That's horrible. Amy Poehler's horrible.
But okay, you agree? Okay, yeah.
Horrible. It's not funny. It's like they're trying to be The Office without talent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, The Office is pretty horrible these days, too.
It is now, too, yeah.
God, has that gone downhill.
30 Rock
Did
still?
Do this still weekend?
30 Rock's still great. You can't. Tina Fey, she's not lost her touch. Yeah. What happened to this show?
This is all This Week in Television.
Did you ever do it?
Edit this all out.
Oh, we'll be other people. You should do the TV show. We'll do the TV show.
We do a TV show. It's called Frame Rate.
Right.
Tom Merritt does it.
We can make this one into it.
We could just make this Frame Rate 2.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it. We'll really piss off the chat room.
We should really talk about your favorite podcasts, your favorite YouTube channel, that kind of thing.
I will plug then, since you opened it up, one of my entrepreneurial students, Ashley Milne-Tite, formerly heard of often on public radio's Marketplace.
Her name is Ashley Milne-Tite?
Milne-Tite.
Ashley Milne-Tite.
It's great. Well, actually, what turns out is that her father decided to add the Milne for the heck of it.
That's not even like a name.
No, but she's got a great British accent.
She's hyphenated. I love that.
And so she's from XNPR or Public Radio, pardon me. Yeah. And has a new podcast called The Broad Experience. And she interviewed none other than our very own Gina Trapani.
It's a great show. She's great. I mean, she's obviously pro, you know, has NPR experience. The show is like short. It's 8 to 10 minutes. It's on women in the workplace. It's really good. I really enjoyed doing the interview with her. I'm glad that I got in on it. Kind of only a few episodes in. I think she's only 3 or 4 episodes in. But
she's only three in. It's actually at The Broad Experience. It's not there. I tweeted it.
It's not on her website?
I know she screwed up. I just emailed her. I love
the name, The Broad Experience. God, that's a good name. It works on so many levels. Let me see if I can find it.
No. Hold on.
I thought it was.
It is on her website.
It is there. Okay.
Yeah. Somewhere, because Google said it was.
If you go up to Listen, maybe.
Is there a Listen? Archives about subscribe.
Oh.
TheBroadExperience.squarespace.com.
Ah.
They're a Squarespace user,
they're,
see?
They're our sponsor today.
Yes. Yeah, well, if you're smart and you're doing a podcast. Oh, you see, I'm subscribed right here. I get it. See, by doing that, she gets free bandwidth. Well, $16 a month for bandwidth. Unlimited. So that's a really smart thing to do for a podcast. Anyway, I've just subscribed to it, apparently.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the broad experience. Oh, look, and she's also using SoundCloud. Yes. You know what? She's smart. She's doing all the right things here.
She has a great accent.
And she's British.
She does.
So you are on episode 2?
I think it's episode three.
Women in Technology.
The broad experience. With my other student named Ada, who's starting a business called.
God, she has a great voice.
Yeah, she's got a great voice.
It's being hotly debated at the moment: women and technology, and why so few women work in this sector.
She should read Winnie the Pooh.
Of the technology
well, I asked her whether her father added Milne because he was a Pooh fan. She never thought to ask him that.
I think she is. He is Milne type. At least it's not Milled type. I don't know what that would be, but it sounds like a part for a car. All right. We do have tech news of some kind here. Hangouts on Air is now everywhere, and there's a lot of excitement about that. We use Hangouts on Air for Trey Ratcliffe's podcast,
right.
Trey Variety Hour. And so he's had access to that for a while.
The Coco Club used it this week.
So what is different in the Hangouts on Air? How does that...
It's live and it's archived and
automatically saved on YouTube,
and anybody can do it. Yeah. So this week the Coco Army did it with their hero,
who was,
you know who I mean? Oh,
the Coco Army.
I'm being stupid. XNBC.
Not Keith Olbermann.
Conan O'Brien.
Oh,
Conan O'Brien.
Okay. Whatever happened to Keith Olbermann? You know, I ran into the new president of Current, David Borman, who's an old friend. And I said, that must have been really interesting because Olbermann was hired before Borman became president of Current. And he just went, someday I'll buy you a drink and tell you the whole story.
You need to buy him one.
Oh. So you can broadcast publicly if you check the box. In fact, we could do it right now, I think, because I think I have that capability, I believe. You check the box that says enable Hangouts on Air. You can broadcast your Hangout live from the Google Plus stream, your YouTube channel, or your website to the entire world. That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, this really kind of gives anybody the ability to do a Twit-style talking head show at any time, right? And you can embed the live stream onto your website.
Right.
So somebody doesn't have to go to Google Plus. That's great.
And I believe you can do it from mobile. I think you can do it from mobile as well.
Yeah, I think you can. So this is the new Hangouts on Air interface, you'll see. It's a little slow right now. There we go. Enable Hangouts on Air. You check this. You could even, it will use your YouTube channel. And of course, you've tied your YouTube channel to your Google account. And then you say, okay. And then you can restrict minors.
You played about that here.
Yeah. You could say who this is, and I could, you know what I could do, and what I did last time is I could say technology journalists. That's always nice to limit it to those for my Hangouts. And then, or you can join an existing Hangout. Now, and then it's going to record it and put it up on your YouTube channel. This is cool. Hanging out is fun with friends. Or I could just click on these people, I guess, and say, hey, come on in, Tom Merritt. Should I do that?
Yeah, do Tom and Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, let's do Tom. I'm sure Kevin's sitting there watching.
Probably, yeah.
All right. And then what else do I have to do? Okay, that's good. Name it. Oh, let's say testing on air and then hang out. Then it does the usual, you know, I see myself. Ooh, that's terrible.
Kevin is there. Kevin is on chat, so he'll be on. Hi, Kevin.
Now, I guess the picture's getting a little bit better here. Let's start the broadcast. Click that button. And so that will put a tweet out on my, oh, there's Tom Merritt joining us.
Kevin, come on, Kevin.
Hey, Tom Merritt, he's drinking heavily.
On company time.
Now, nice. I can turn the microphone on, camera on, settings. There's some Google effects. We've already seen these, but just in case you haven't, I can use a Google effect. But this, I'm going to have to get a new computer. This thing is like
this is way slow.
Lasses.
There we go.
Oh, now I'm hearing myself. That's even better. All right. So I can be a late night host. That guy you were trying to remember? This is kind of cool that they actually give you Conan hair.
Okay. That's funny.
That's just, how does he get that? That's very funny. I can also put a hat on if I want. This is all, of course, all stuff that, you know, everybody has a Logitech camera has been able to do for ages, but Google's decided that this belongs in. And there's Kevin Marks joining us.
Hello there.
Hey, Kevin.
Hang on.
Hey, Kevin.
So
this is very bizarre because I thought you were actually streaming on the other.
I know. It's probably very confusing.
Oh, hang on. Looks like my camera's not happy.
Apparently, I still have this hat on. Well, we get the idea. I mean, I just and then I could have a birthday cake or a mustache. They've added stuff.
I feel like Josh Topolsky with these glasses.
Joshua Topolsky joining us right now.
So you can't give someone else effects. You can only add effects
only
to your
yourself.
Own.
And apparently they're cumulative, which is interesting. So you can really make yourself look like an idiot. Hey, Mario.
Will they replace the background too? That was something that iChat used to do that.
Yeah, iChat does that. I guess not
like
this.
A fake green screen where you just like hit what got out of shot and then it.
Right. I'm in Hawaii right now. Exactly. Yeah.
Stuff in like fish.
Okay. Tom Mary just put a beard, Topolsky glasses, and a top hat on. I have a Mario mustache and a cat in the hat. And I might go for the dog look here. Let's see how. Have you ever seen a dog with a mustache? Get ready.
It's a slow news week, folks.
No, it's not. That's the it's the Monopoly millionaire, Tom Merritt.
Okay, the dog is pretty cool.
The dog with a mustache, no less. For people who are listening and not watching this podcast, trust me, you're not missing anything. Exactly. You're very lucky.
just fast forward.
Yeah, just fast forward past this section. Look at Tom.
I've got an invite on my phone as well.
When I want to talk about how YouTube and Google replace network television, I'll point to this.
No. Yeah, this is exactly what network television has wanted for so very long.
Yes.
But I do think that this is a very empowering technology for somebody who wants to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
looking like a pig.
It's not a pig. That's a dog. It's a little, I mean, look, they got a little work to do. It's a little slow. It's a little funky. And I guess depending on your bandwidth, it's probably not going to, you need a lot of bandwidth.
Kevin's not sending video on purpose.
Well, you're looking pretty good to me, but you clearly didn't like my camera today. So
yeah.
I must have had Skype open or them.
But look at Tom Merritt. I mean, just fantastic. Until he drinks a beer. And his beard, glasses, and hat just get left behind.
It's magic.
Something. Sure, trust this is actually a sort of actual anonymization technique.
Yeah, you could use this. It certainly would take a boring podcast and make it interesting. Not that it's done that for us, but in theory. Anyway, I'm going to let you all go. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Tom.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Nice mustache or beard.
This hangout is now over. If you are broadcasting publicly, as we will. Oh, maybe not. No, I didn't say public. I said those people. Your recording will now be uploaded and automatically replace the live video in the player. Please allow a few minutes for the upload and processing. So when you go to Google Plus, instead of saying he's doing a hangout or he missed a hangout, just like this, here's Trey's Variety Hour, you'll actually see video.
Which is great.
Yeah. So they've in effect made a podcast just that way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. So bully for them, and I think it's empowering technology for people. Lets them do their own thing. Google Maps now has offers.
This is, well, there's two things. This is a big deal because Google Maps will now be more in the local space, which is really important. But also today, Foursquare announced that they're
coupons
doing coupons
too. All this with Groupon's stock plummeting, and I guess everybody thinks...
As well it should.
Yeah. Well, we can do that. And that actually probably is one of the reasons why the stock is plummeting, because, in fact, Groupon doesn't seem to have a monopoly on this.
Not only that, but Foursquare and you know, full disclosure, I've been talking to them with
one of
the companies I work with.
I love Denson. They're great.
They're great. And Jay Crowley, his brother, is doing biz dev. I've been talking to them. But they... Foursquare encourages... loyalty. Groupon does not.
How does it do it?
Because when you want to be mayor, when you want to come back, when you want to get a badge, when you want to do those things, that's what Foursquare is pushing, is for you to come back.
Right.
And
right.
then the opportunity is to give rewards on that basis.
Ah, and Groupon just says, come get a 50% off a massage.
And then run.
And then run, never come back. And that's the problem, exactly. Is does it create a new customer or does it just create a drain?
And this altogether becomes a huge impact on the newspaper business because it's local.
Right.
Because
and radio too.
Coupons.
And radio too. Yeah.
But coupons are the last reason to print a paper. The last good reason to print a paper are coupons circulars.
Good point. When
newspaper circulation falls below a critical mass, that's going to have an impact on that. So at the same time, coupons online are starting to work more. I've seen studies saying they're work more. Plus, you have Facebook and Foursquare coming into the coupon business. And in the coupon business, not just at a Procter & Gamble level, but at a local level. This becomes a big deal. We're going to release out of CUNY a study in about a week or two. We went and surveyed online 500 businesses in a neighborhood of Manhattan and 500 businesses in a town in New Jersey to find out how digital are they. And it's very interesting to see how few, in some ways, to my mind, have still Facebook pages, websites, YouTube channels, Twitter handles, and so on. But Foursquare is interesting, and Google Place pages are interesting because you're already there.
Right.
The only question is, are you doing anything with it? Are you maintaining it? Are you helping it out? So I think offers on maps is a big deal in the business.
It doesn't have that thing that you mentioned that Foursquare has. It doesn't have that loyalty building thing. It's just a map. There's no check-in.
No. I mean, Foursquare, do you use radar in Foursquare?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it buzz for you when you pass by things?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of, do you find that useful? Is it working?
No, mostly just says, hey, you're home. You want to check in?
Yeah, that's mostly what it is. But I'm big on using the to-do list. So if I'm nearby a place that I put on my to-do list, it'll say, hey, while you're nearby,
right.
that juice place that you wanted to try is across the street.
I followed a lot of lists. So it will say, that restaurant that's on your best places to eat in the whole wide world,
right.
You're
right.
There. So what? Go, right. So that is kind of cool.
That is very cool.
The thing about Foursquare is that it's still... I don't have numbers to back this up, but I get the impression like you either are really into Foursquare and use it all the time, or you don't at all or wouldn't consider it.
Right.
And the thing is that Google Maps on your phone, that's the way everybody gets directions.
Yes.
Especially on Android, because the navigation is so fantastic. I really miss the navigation on the iPhone. But people go to Google Maps to get directions. They've been doing that since 2005 or 2006 when it launched. So to add offers to Google Maps, which you're going to have open anyway, like Google Maps is your go-to for location stuff for most people, right? I mean, with Foursquare, you have to get into the habit of launching the app and checking in, and only a very small kind of dedicated group of users does that. So I think offers on Google Maps is really a big deal. I think that it's probably will be the first experience with location-based coupons that most people will have.
Because you're using maps all the time.
Because you're using maps all the time anyway.
Yeah.
People are walking, it's installed on your phone when you get it. You're walking around getting directions to go someplace anyway, so you're going to see them.
Right.
And that's only on Android so far, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually Foursquare on iOS. Sorry, it's so bright.
I do think Foursquare specials or coupons, it sounds like coupons are similar to specials, are better for business, right? Because often it's like on your third check-in, get a free appetizer for the mayor, that kind
of
thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Loyalty.
And I do think these lists, if they can get more people to do the lists, are going to be huge too. Here's Dan's list for when you go to New Orleans. You got to get off Bourbon Street. 7 things to do in New Orleans, not on Bourbon Street. I mean, things like that. Potentially huge
lists.
Value.
It's
great. Yeah.
And the tips, when you go to a restaurant, someone says, try this. That's really valuable.
That is really useful. I mean, that's the thing about Foursquare, makes you identify with places.
Right.
It's funny. I don't check in if I go to the the Ralphs, you know, because I'm going grocery shopping.
Nobody should know that. Yeah.
The cool coffee shop, I'm going to check in. A lot of ways, it's an identification thing. You know, it's which is a deeper, much deeper experience. I think it connects customers with places a lot more strongly. But also, there's that hurdle of getting into Foursquare. I mean, people who don't use Foursquare are just annoyed by Foursquare check-in notifications and badge notifications on Twitter and other places. You know, they probably just see the app notifications on Foursquare on Facebook and think like, "What is this?" You know, I think it's a very split group. You're either really into it or you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because somebody's saying, well, you know, Google does have check-ins. Of course, Latitude check-ins. In fact, they're automatic, though. That I think one way that's a disadvantage because you're not doing anything. So you never really see those check-ins.
There's a lot to come on. I mean, the other stat that came out this week, I don't think we have it on the rundown, is how much more Facebook use is happening mobily.
Right.
And you know, we're the bare beginning of seeing how this stuff is going to be used.
Well, we've been, you know, it's funny because we've been saying, oh, this is going to be huge. Location's going to be huge. Search gets replaced in some ways by location. And it just took a while to catch up, but it's happening.
It's starting.
It's happening. Did you know that according to Eugene Volokh, Google search results should be protected by the First Amendment?
Because he says, interestingly, that and this was we should say commissioned by Google.
He's a professor of law at the University of California, Los Angeles,
and a libertarian, early blogging guy. But Gene says that search is opinion. I find this really interesting. Thus, it is free speech. So the algorithm is not fact; it's opinion.
Wow, that makes sense because he says Google, Bing, Yahoo and other search engine companies are rightly seen as media enterprises, just like the New York Times or CNN. They're media.
Which they don't say. They've never said before. So now they're trying to get under the media umbrella on the First Amendment, which I find really, really interesting. But then I would. It's a wonky thing to get interested in.
And this, of course, hasn't been an issue in the U.S. yet, but they've already been sued in Germany and France over autocomplete and things like that. But they haven't. Right. Nobody's attacked them in the U.S., or have they, for search results? But I imagine they think it's going to happen.
Well, not yet, but this is where you get to this idea that Google is a utility and that it has to have fairness in search, which when you think about it for 2 seconds makes absolutely no sense because who's to say what's fair? Who's to say what that is? But no, that does get raised a fair amount. And I've changed my tack with reporters calling. I had a reporter call yesterday about you know, evils of Facebook and stuff. I had Consumer Reports last week about evils of Facebook, and I said that they were in moral panic. And then I had a reporter call me this morning trying to compare Google to Standard Oil as a monopoly 100 years ago. And I just lost it. That's your starting point? It's always big, bad, evil Google, you commie. So, yeah, I think there are efforts to say that you know, Google's too powerful. We have to control Google. And we'll control Google around this idea of saying that search is something that should be regulated. Well, no. Search is speech.
Livehoods.org, a new way to understand a city. These check-ins are public? There's an API for this, Gina?
Yeah.
So
if you set your check-ins to public.
And most people do. So each dot on the map represents a check-in location. Groups of nearby dots of the same color form a livehood. The shapes of livehoods are determined by the patterns of people. If many of the same people check into two nearby locations, these locations will be part of the same livehood or livehood. This is how people kind of congregate. So when you have a lot of dots of the same color, this isn't like a neighborhood. Click on a location to learn about its livehood. This is livehood number 17. The top five places, the 24th Street Mission BART station, Ritual Coffee Roasters, Phil's Coffee, Beretta, and the Taqueria Cancun. This is the Mission District. It even tells you what phone service people are using. Here's the Sparky's 24-hour diner location. Mission Dolores Park, Safeway, Gold's Gym.
What ties them together? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. What makes it a hood?
People check into many of these same, like, they follow
you. Oh, it's like set theory. Gotcha.
It's set theory.
Same groups of people.
Well, if you're going to say it the fancy way.
It's set theory, okay?
Don't you know?
So this is the Sundance Kabuki Theater. So if you live in one of these cities, I know San Francisco well enough to say, yeah, these are demographic clusters. Here's the downtown demographic cluster.
That's really
interesting. And these are
using public data from Foursquare.
Yeah, and then they say, well, if you like this livelihood, you'll like these other five livelihoods that are closely related, similar groups of people. And then stats. Wow.
This is pretty cool.
This is really cool. This is livehoods.org from Carnegie Mellon.
Wow.
Their mobile commerce lab.
I'm looking through Foursquare's privacy because you got to have a really large amount of public data to do this well, which it seems like they are doing it well, at least in San Francisco.
Let me do Brooklyn for you because you'll know this one, Gina.
Well, anonymized data? Gina, I wonder whether you get anonymized data.
It's not people. There's no people's names on this. These are locales.
So I think maybe you can get
just a stream of check-ins without personal, like aggregated. Yeah, that's you're right. That's
what it must be, because that's how you see things like trending restaurants and other stuff like that. That's the value. That's a great deal.
So here's the Williamsburg. Here's the Williamsburg neighborhood.
This is really interesting.
Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Williamsburg Bridge, MTA Subway, Radagast Hall and Beer Garden, Blue Bottle Coffee. related neighborhoods, and it would make sense. We got downtown.
So go to Christopher Street or Chelsea or something like that. I want to see if it kind of marks other gay neighborhoods.
Okay.
Like if the West Village is
exactly
linked with Chelsea, yeah.
Oh, now you're getting sophisticated on me. You think these lavender dots represent anything? Oh, sorry. That's the South Street Seaport. Never mind. I don't know. There's the Apple Store in Soho.
So like West Village would be,
I got the Lower East Side. How about that?
See,
Whole Foods, the Meatball Shop, Katz's Deli, Pianos, and Spitzer's Corner. Yeah, they're all kind of related. I think
that's how Patch should use this, right? To understand what it is. It's not a zip code.
Mm.
This is the first best way I can see to discern a neighborhood rather than trying to use existing boundaries.
Well, that's their point. These are better than neighborhoods.
It's emergent data, right?
Yeah.
That's really
cool. Isn't that interesting?
In fact, I have a business use for that tomorrow. As soon as we get off the air, I'll be
good.
Be in a local business.
Good. All right, we're going to take a break. This is fun. We're just kind of messing around.
It always is, Leo. I was in a rotten mood when I came on the show, and thanks to you, my rays of sunshine.
We're just messing around, man.
I'm happy.
We're just doing our thing, kind of getting down. Gina Trapani's here. She's from Brooklyn. That's cool.
Yeah, you know.
Jeff Jarvis. He's from, I don't know, what neighborhood is City University of New York in?
I'm in Times Square.
Times Square. Center of the universe.
Otherwise known as the Shmata District.
The gray lady sits outside waiting to consume. We're going to get back with more in just a bit. I want to talk a little bit about never going to the post office again. See, no more Foursquare check-ins at the post office because you've got stamps.com. See, this is going to be different because as people's behaviors change, for instance, they're not going to the post office. What they're doing is they're using their computer and printer to print their own postage. And it's so cool. We do it here. In fact, I notice a proliferation of stamps.com USB scales. Jordan has one. Now Frederic has one. I think we're never gonna have to buy stamps ever again. You go to stamps.com. You can take advantage of this special offer. It's a no-risk trial. Includes $55 free postage. The digital scale is free. You just pay for shipping and handling. It's $5 supply kit and a four-week trial. All you have to do is use the offer code TWIG. So you really get an idea of how Stamps.com works, Mac or PC. Just go to Stamps.com, click that funny old microphone in the upper right-hand corner to get the special deal. And now, see, that it will, for instance, print out the forms you need for priority mail, express mail, even international mail. You'll always have the right postage because the scale weighs it. If you're an eBay seller, you're going to love this. It actually takes the data from eBay and populates it. So it prints the labels, everything. This is so cool. If you use QuickBooks, you'll do your invoices this way and never have to type in another address. I just love stamps.com. I know you're going to like it too, but that's why we arranged this no-risk trial, so you don't have to worry about it. Just try it and see. $55 free postage, a free digital scale, a supply kit, and a four-week trial, all at stamps.com. Use the offer code TWIG. Stop going to the post office. No more check-ins at the post office for you. Stamps.com. Moving right along. I'm sorry about that Channel 4 video. Let's cut that out.
I already made a note.
I don't want YouTube to pull us down again.
Yeah, I made a note for Tony.
Thank you. There have been some court cases that actually support this idea that Google is the search is free speech. In 2003, an Oklahoma ad company accused Google of hurting its business when it downgraded the company in search listings. The federal judge threw out the case on free speech grounds. Google's protected. Free speech, baby.
As the author of the algorithm, essentially.
Yeah.
Instead of the editor of the content.
Yeah.
Well, the algorithm is an content. Opinion.
Kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, an algorithm kind of is an opinion. I mean, it is a set of values and rules.
This is what we're kind of grappling with, though, in all sorts of ways, patent law and everything, is what is a computer program? What is an algorithm? What is it? It's as a programmer, I think you would say it's an expression of it is speech, right? It's an expression of something coming out of your brain. Just because it's not written in prose, it's written in a language that's different from English, but it's still.
Yeah, I mean, it's logic flow.
It's logic. Yeah.
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 It's speech. So now the Next Web has a picture from the Google Glass project. By the way, Kevin Rose said, I'm going to get you the goggles to me.
Three.
I'll make sure that we get three.
This is the greatest thing.
This is a really neat photo. I hadn't occurred to me. Well, we should probably describe it for people who are listening. Somebody's wearing the glasses. Has his small child and is spinning his small child around, and you can see this person. It looks like a guy's hand, so you can see this man's hands. So it's a hands-free photo.
Sebastian Thrun is the guy who does those code lessons, right?
He's in charge, right? He's doing all the online. He does the new online school. He was the chief engineer behind the Google self-driving car, and he's in charge of the lab stuff. He has the greatest friggin' job.
He
in the
is
world,
the coolest guy ever.
He's the only one that can do it because he's got to be that smart. So he's wearing the goggles and he's spinning his son around, and you see the son is in focus and everything else is blurry because he can do that and there's no hands.
Wow. But what do you do? How do you do it? Do you blink? Do you say, take a picture?
I think it's audio.
Maybe it's a timer?
No, it's audio commands. Well, no, remember that's what the video said it was going to be.
Yeah, we don't know, do we? This is the crappy picture that Sebastian took when he was on Charlie Rose. That's a terrible, the color, everything. But maybe the lights were throwing it. We're seeing more and more of these glasses in the wild, though, right?
Yeah.
Not just prototypes. Well, they are prototypes, I guess, but not just broken prototypes. Actual glasses.
I saw a video. Sebastian was on. I forget where it was. He was interviewed about the car and said that people would see them they drove all those miles. They'd see them and they had all these guesses about what it was, and there weren't many guesses that of the self driving. It was other guesses. And then finally, people started guessing right, and that's when Markoff called and said, is this what it is? And they invited him
interesting.
In, the New York Times, John Markoff, for a drive.
Good man.
And a fascinating.
John's a smart guy. So the state of Nevada has approved self-driving cars from Google. The Las Vegas Sun says
what we want is a bunch of, I guess we do want that, a bunch of drunks not hitting people, yeah.
Nevada law requires a person behind the wheel during the test, so you do have to kind of sit there. But I think
you could program it for Gamblers Anonymous and won't let you drive to the casinos.
I think the presumption is you're not going to drive down downtown Vegas Boulevard. That you'll be in the wilderness. I hope.
But they've been driving around the Bay Area.
Yeah, why did they have to get permission from Nevada when they've been doing it in California?
I think they want to take them to Vegas for some show or something. I think they wanted to do something. And they're trying to get a market now. They're trying to get approval state by state so that they can actually make this a sellable technology.
It's the first state in the nation to approve testing driverless cars. Mm-hmm. Google has equipped a fleet of at least 8 vehicles, 6 Toyota Priuses, an Audi TT, and a Lexus RX450H. The license plates will be unique. They'll have a red background and feature an infinity symbol on the left-hand side. DMV Director Bruce Breslow says, I feel using the infinity symbol was the best way to represent the car of the future. Man, woman, birth, death, infinity. So they're, apparently Google's going to go to other states to try to get permission as well. I guess they don't have it yet in California, but that didn't stop them from doing it.
I guarantee them that New Jersey will befuddle the car.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
You got a problem with it? Hudson County, right? I used to live in Jersey City in Hoboken. There is, honest to God, there's a different constitution there that says that people turning left have right of way over all forms of life.
I'm turning left here. Get out of my way. Really? Is that true? No.
It is in practicality, I'll tell you.
You can turn left in New Jersey. It doesn't matter who's in the road.
You got a problem with this?
My people are from Jersey. I apologize. Galaxy S3. Did you guys talk about this last week when I wasn't here? Did you talk? Did you?
No, it came out.
Came out after
Thursday.
All right. All right. It's one better than the S2. It's big, 4.8 inches. Ice cream sandwich. LTE and HSPA Plus, so it'll run on all the high-speed 4G networks.
You give me a refresher on that, of which carrier is which, where?
So AT&T and Verizon will be offering LTE.
Right.
T-Mobile offers HSPA Plus, as does AT&T, but AT&T also offers LTE. T-Mobile does not have LTE. And Sprint currently has WiMAX, but is moving to LTE.
So LTE is the thing to get.
Oh, yeah, LTE is the future for sure, yeah.
LTE, okay. Yeah. How are regular people supposed to understand that, really?
Oh, no, don't get me started. It's not even 4G, even though they call it 4G, because 4G is supposed to be 100 megabits down, and nothing's ever even close to that. But what's the name of the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union, gave a kind of a waiver to the United States saying, well... It's faster than 3G, so go ahead, call it 4G. LTE is the future. Just remember that.
So I'm going to be in Korea in
it'll
week
be
and
LTE.
A half.
Yeah.
So should I? If I don't know if one can buy phones, or can I buy a note or something like that? What should I look for? Something that's LTE?
Get a note that's LTE. But here's the other thing: is they're on different frequencies. So there's right. LTE in Korea may not be on the same frequency that LTE in the U.S. is. So you really, that's why they have multi-band phones and, Actually, in fact, T-Mobile has announced that they're going to do HSPA Plus on 1900 megahertz, which means you can run the iPhone on it. You couldn't do it before.
I'm still confused, but that's okay.
Galaxy S3, it's nice. It's a nice phone. It's big. It has some neat features. For instance... it's kind of smart. Like it knows what you're up to, right, Eileen?
It watches you. It's kind of creepy in the way that
the camera is using there. The camera, or is this a separate
there's
sensor?
There's a sensor on the front of the camera or on the front of the phone, and it waits till you actually stop looking at it, and then it will go black.
So you know, I've talked about, and I love that program called Scribble. That I use that uses the accelerometer to know if you've got the phone tilted up, it says, oh, you must be looking at it. I won't turn off the screen. So you can set the screen time out to like the minimum, like seconds.
Right.
And as long as it's not flat or upright, and you can change the parameters, mm-hmm. Scribble will just keep the screen on. This is better than that because it's looking at you.
It's looking at you, yeah. So there's
says,
a video.
Oh, she's using it.
There's a video commercial where the dad is holding his kid and he's about to drift off, but he's reading and then he closes his eyes and then the phone turns off.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, that's neat.
It also...
I like that the screen seems to come very close to the top of the device itself. Like it looks like, you know, it's mostly screen, which I kind of like.
They don't have the bump anymore either. It's like a very thin
profile. The bezel's really thin, and I hear that some people do complain that the buttons are a little, there's not as much real estate for the buttons if you're used to using them. So
I'm just glad that even though it's ice cream sandwich, it actually has buttons. It's got the home button, mm-hmm. and it's got menu and back. Mm-hmm. Not menu. I'm sorry. It's not that menu anymore. It's that task switcher, which I think is completely useless.
It does look kind of plasticky, though, like the
button. You know what? I think it looks very similar to a Galaxy S2, just bigger, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, it's curved, though. It's not.
It's a little curvy.
Yeah.
So
well,
anyway.
That was to appease the lawyers. I think you talked about it on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, Apple says it can't look like an iPhone. Okay, no problem. We'll curve it. So it should hit, the latest is from CNET that it should hit this summer in the U.S., but it's actually, I thought June was what they were talking about.
Well, it's going to be the official phone for the Summer Olympics
right.
as well.
Uh-huh.
Right.
All the athletes will get one in there. It's going to use NFC. So the athletes are going to have wallets and have pay points. Oh. And they can walk around and tap their phone on stuff. That's kind of cool.
Cool-o.
Yeah.
Olympic Village full of hot people using NFC. I like it.
You went there, didn't you?
I did.
You went
sorry.
Right there.
Sorry.
I've heard that it's apparently just a love fest.
Yeah, I'm
in the Olympic Village. And imagine.
If I was locked up in training.
21
for 12
years
hours a day
old,
for four
perfect
years,
body, you want to use it. And especially if your event is early. Because then it's nothing, right? Then you got
then
weeks
you're
just
good.
Sitting around in the Olympic Village eating lots of food and tapping your phone.
Tapping my phone at the bar.
It's a good time. I've heard
what's his name? Phelps was interviewed, I think, in 60 Minutes last week, talking about how he just kind of slugged out afterwards and didn't get it back together. And he said, yeah, I'd sleep till 11 in the afternoon.
It's like college kids?
It is. It's a bunch of gorgeous college kids with nothing to do. You do the math. We're going to talk about. I don't want to talk about Oracle.
I don't blame you. I don't want to talk about it either.
Oracle versus Google.
The non-verdict.
The jury ruled in favor of. This is the Java, the Sun Java issue. Whether Android infringes on Java's patents and trademarks. Oracle sued. Saying, yeah, you're Android. We should have licensed that. That's a Java. Google said, no, it's not. The jury said, well, yeah, it is Java. The jury said, yes, Android basically stole Java. But they couldn't decide whether it was, what did they say? It infringed copyright or not. So now the jury is going to look at patents next. And Google, meanwhile, says, mistrial, Your Honor, I want a mistrial. And so it's going to go on. There's more. That poor jury. Is it the same jury comes back and now does patents?
I think that poor jury. Yeah.
That's got to be the.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's like this a. What is
so it? Google like... infringed on copyrights, but. They couldn't reach a decision on whether that was acceptable.
Whether or not it's protected under fair use is the question.
So Google says mistrial. And then, now this is in its fourth week already. Now they're looking at patents.
Yeah, this went from sort of fun, crazy circus to, okay.
The judge says you do not have to answer the fair use question. You just have to decide whether they violated copyrights. We appreciate the jury, says Google, and we know that fair use and infringement are two sides of the same coin. The core issue is whether the APIs here are copyrightable, and that's for the court to decide. We expect to prevail on this issue and Oracle's other claims. Oracle said, We won! I don't like to report on these. That's it. That's the story.
Thank you.
We're done.
Or...
For the nonce. Let's take a break. We're talking Google, the cloud, the internet. A lot more. Gina and Jeff. And Ting. Time to talk Ting. You know about Ting? Ting.com. It is their goal in life is nothing less than completely disrupting the cell phone industry. Okay. You got to like that. Just, you know, you got to admire their pluck. Spunky little Ting. No long-term contract. You only pay for what you use. some really nice phones. Now, last week I mistakenly said you could bring your own phone, but you know they're based on Sprint. It's a CDMA carrier, so you can't. You have to get a phone from them, and you pay more because they're not subsidized. But I'm going to tell you in a second how to save $50 on the phone. They've got the top of the line Photon. I would go with the Galaxy S2. I'm sure they'll have the S3 at some point soon. The Optimus, if you want to save some money. But here's, you look at the plans. This is where it really gets interesting. You pay for what you use. No penalty, no waste. This is why it's disrupting. Because basically you say how many devices you're going to have. This is good for a family, too, or a business. Look, you know, I could say I'm going to have 20 devices. Let's say I'm going to have 15 devices. That's $90 a month. And then I'm going to say, well, I'm going to use 500 minutes. I'll do 100 text messages, and I want 2 gigabytes of data. And then it tells you the price. That's $144 a month. But here's the cool thing. If you use less data or less text, they refund your money. And if you use more, they just charge you the same amount. There's no penalty. There's no penalty. Plus, you get voicemail free, picture and video messaging free, three-way calling. They don't charge for that. Caller ID, they don't charge for that. Tethering, they don't charge for that. Hotspot, they don't charge for that. You pay for what you use, no more, no less. It is really, really slick. Great customer service. Once you get a Ting representative on the line during regular business hours, they will not put you on hold. They will solve your problem. And for the month of May, they're running a dump your contract contest. Every day this month, they're going to buy out your mobile service contract. So if you want to find out about that, go to ting.com/DYC. They'll cut you a check to pay your early termination fee, a minimum of $100, a maximum of $300. ting.com/DYC. You can also share your ETF, your early termination fee horror stories on the site and follow winners on Facebook. Enter every day in May to win. Ting is simple, honest, integrity. I love it. Fair prices. Fair prices. And, you know, if you want to find out more, go to ting.com/twig and you can get $50 off the new device. ting.com/twig. And if you want to enter the contest, ting.com/DYC for dump your contract. Great support. They've got, you can tweet them. They have a blog. They even post release notes so you know exactly what's going on. It's run by a bunch of geeks who said there's got to be a better way. And I think they've done it. Ting. Try it. You want a better cell phone company? Ting is the thing. You know what I, by the way, somebody put this on Google Plus. The best thing I use Google Plus for is to find out about deals on Google Play. Right now, they've got like a whole cover album thing free. They're great.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a great Hall & Oates cover.
Play.google. Well, but, and I have a question. Maybe one of you smart people knows how to do this. So if you go to play.google.com, you can do this on your Android device, of course. But you can also do it on a computer. They have a Mother's Day sale, but come on, go to the next one.
If you just go to music
other
tab.
Hip uses.
Music on the
left. Not my music. The right music. There, yeah. Yeah, I went to the wrong one. Wrong one. This is my music.
Oh.
Go to the music store. It'll say it there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Best cover songs ever. They're giving these away. There's how many tracks? 20. Yeah. But is there a way to download them all?
I was wondering that too, and I started just
because you have to go one by one. American Woman, Lenny Kravitz, Red Wine, UB40.
Go through a little work for the free.
What's your favorite one? When did you like?
The Hall & Oates. I can't remember. What's the name of the song?
Wait a minute.
How deep
even...
is your love?
The Bee Gees.
No, sorry, it's not.
It's Hall & Oates. The Bird and the Bee.
Yeah, they do it. They do a Hall & Oates cover too.
The Bird and the Bee. How deep?
On a summer breeze, keep me warm.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Copyright. Won't play that long.
That's 3 seconds. We can play 3 seconds. Cassandra Wilson doing Lay Lady Lay. You could play that today. Oh, she got a deep voice. Yeah, baby.
Oh, they got nothing compares to you way up there.
Oh, I know. Like Sinead O'Connor. So how do I get these? Okay, somebody, smart people, How do I? Because here's how you do it.
There's a play all, but there isn't a download all.
There's not a download all. I guess they're giving it away.
Yeah, they're making you work for it.
So you got to, yeah.
It's all free.
Add free songs.
Well, they have a whole lot of free music that you can download in general.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, but be careful because I did everything and I got inspirational songs.
You got crap.
I got a lot of stuff I didn't want. So you can just
So you, that was easy.
Pick by genre.
World. I like world. I like R&B and soul. I'm not going to get Alice Cooper. I'll skip that. I like country. So now this is all in my Google.
In your Google Play music, thing. Yeah.
John Mayer, Santana. I'll skip the rest. A little blues would be good. Reggae, baby. That was easy.
Right, but that cover section is
special.
Look at all
the crap I got.
So then you have to still do individual.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right, so but I want to get the covers. Well, we're just going to have to click one by one. That's too bad.
These are great, though. I'm glad you pointed this out.
I just thought I'd mention that. Yeah, good covers.
Could have been your tool.
Who doesn't like covers? I know my tool is a lame tool, but that's all right. Jealous Guy by Roxy Music, Coldplay Live from Norway. You gotta love that. You only live twice.
They actually have a lot of artists come into the Google space, and then they'll release it as an album as well, and so you get those for free.
Ooh. Hey, if I were a carpenter, buy the Carpenters. Oh, no. Oh, no, this is even better. This is Carpenter songs performed by other people. See, this is how they get you. Now I want to spend hundreds of dollars to hear Dishwalla play It's Gonna Take Some Time. Or Babes in Toyland calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Now that's a hit.
Oh, the Cranberries. They long to be close to you.
Oh! Close to You by the Cranberries?
Just like me. Okay.
I'm buying. See that? Now they got me. See, $10.
Bada
bing, bada boom. I got free cover songs and I couldn't resist buying this. $10 it cost me for those free songs because I ended up buying that. But that's good. And now I can share it.
Yes.
On Google Plus and tell my friends. What could be wrong with the Cranberries singing Close to You?
Gina, what's your embarrassing music choice?
Oh, I have many.
I think Gina's music is generally just embarrassing.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing her. I'm teasing.
The last couple of days I've been listening to like classic Ben Folds 5.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So, you know.
She's a Brick and I'm Falling Slowly.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great song.
So who listens to their Google Music through Google
Never.
Play?
Never. But I've got a great collection.
I do on the app. I do on
you
the
got
app.
A, great big collection with zero plays.
Yeah.
Throughout.
I can download them though, right? I mean, I could download them.
Yeah, I listen to them on my phone. But I do admit that I buy most of my music on Amazon, and I love the Amazon player.
And I even end up buying a lot of stuff on iTunes. So Vivian Redding of the European Union.
This is just a minor Jarvis moment, but she's the one who goes after Google all the time and is doing all the horrible privacy things, I think, in Europe. And she calls...
She has a lot of nerve.
She really does. Orwellian surveillance apparatus. Oh, come now.
Every country in the EU has cameras on every freaking intersection. And this EU commissioner calls the Street View car, which is just going around and taking a picture of the street... Orwellian. Lady. Don't you know? Is she German?
She's Belgian.
Oh,
she's fake French.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Frederick's going to never send you another check. You better be nice. Wow. Orwellian. And that's nervy because the car goes by and that's that. And it's not, you know, those cameras that are on, I'm sure, every street corner in Brussels are constantly monitoring everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Right. There's a difference between surveillance cameras.
And they go straight to the police.
Yeah.
So that, you know, one of the reporters I got mad at this week, I yelled at, it was so bad, one of my neighbors came by and said, "Who are you yelling at?" Was from IPN in the UK.
Were you yelling at the TV?
No, I was yelling at reporters on the phone. They said, "Can I talk to you for a quote about this?" But the premise would be bad technology, bad big company. So one of them came in and said, "Well, Google got this patent to be able to use background sound when you make a voice request for a search."
I saw your
and how rant. Obviously awful and evil this is. And I said, "Oh, come on! You know, if I ask for Raptor and I can hear that I'm in a quiet museum or I'm in a loud stadium, it's going to guess whether I want dinosaurs or jocks, and it's going to tell me, and that's okay, and I can turn it off. Jesus, get off of it!" I just yelled at the guy, used the F word a few times, and hung up on him.
Oh my goodness.
I just love that your neighbors have to check in on you, Jeff, to make sure
Jeff,
that,
you okay?
Like, everything's okay.
Jarvis is having a Hulk moment.
Jarvis,
he's turned bright green.
Eileen, if you were really on it, you would have just made me green.
I know.
Right there.
Dang, sorry. I was about to do it right now.
He's turning green.
We can't hassle Eileen.
Turning green. Google now is this is great because you know Microsoft is suing Motorola. But then Motorola came back and suing Microsoft saying, and Motorola, of course, is Google. I don't, Motorola Mobility we're talking about, that Microsoft says Motorola Mobility wants to charge it $4 billion a year in the patents that Motorola holds on Wi-Fi and video technology. So they say for the Xbox, you owe us $4 billion a year in royalties, says Google. A year. Wow.
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 Somebody should do a chart of who is suing whom for what, because it just shows the absolute.
Oh, they have. They have. And it's crazy. Yeah, it looks like the Paris subway map.
Oh.
If the two don't come up with an agreement, the judge could stop Microsoft from importing Xboxes into the U.S. for sale. No more Xboxes for you. Microsoft says this amount is insanely high and unfair. Yeah.
So is life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, Google's using patents offensively here.
Apparently, I thought they weren't going to.
I thought they weren't going to either. But this is Motorola Mobility. But this,
it's in defense.
This is Google.
Well, they could make the argument. No, this is in defense because Microsoft has been going after Android. So now we're going to come back and say, okay, you want to play that game? You owe us $4 billion.
One woman's offense is another woman's defense.
Yeah.
Depends on which side you're on, yeah.
Right, right.
It's not a big royalty. It's 2.25%. Motorola lawyer told the judge, "Don't forget, they started this. We didn't start this." So that's their response. No, it's defensive.
Yeah, teacher.
But that's why you buy Motorola for, what are they, $15 billion? That's why you buy
exactly.
$16 billion. Because... those patents are defensive.
Defensive patents, yeah.
And but if it's only defensive if you use it, the threat to use it. Do we care about? We talked about it a little bit on Twitter. Do we care about the Yahoo CEO resume kerfuffle?
No, only in that Yahoo remains even a bigger joke day by day.
I know, it's just getting worse.
Yeah,
it's just getting worse. It's sad.
It's a clown car.
But I mean, who cares if he said he had a computer science degree and he didn't? He just took some courses. I mean, I don't care.
My favorite in all that was a week ago, Michael Arrington putting on his LinkedIn page that he was the CEO of Yahoo.
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you credit the rumor that AOL's denied this, that AOL is going to sell Engadget and TechCrunch? And that Mike Arrington then said, "But I'm not buying. I got your money. I'm not giving any back." The Yahoo
were reported 70, I mean, even though it was denied immediately, what was it, 70 million?
Yeah.
And I think he sold for 20, what did he sell for?
It's a big premium, 30?
Yeah.
Less than 30?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Facebook roadshow's ongoing. Mark Zuckerberg offended analysts by wearing a hoodie.
Jesus.
So here's the deal. If you're going public, you do a roadshow. You go to the big institutional investors, people with a lot of money to buy stock, and you give them a pitch about why Facebook be a good investment. And they get in early on it. You know, it's all old boy network thing. But the Zuck is just not into it, man. So they make a video. And in New York, they force people to sit through a 30-minute video of Zuckerberg and then answer questions. People complained. because they didn't. They said we didn't have enough time for questions, and Mark's wearing a T-shirt. So then he comes to another one and wears a hoodie, and the analyst said, "This is a sign, a mark of immaturity."
Yeah,
you don't come to us in a hoodie, kid. Mark Millian writing for Bloomberg about this, which is just great.
The analyst's name is
Pachter. Yeah. Michael Pachter is an analyst for Wedbush Securities. Mark in his signature hoodie. This is on Bloomberg TV. He's actually showing investors he doesn't care that much. He's going to be him. I think that's a mark of immaturity. I think he has to realize he's bringing investors in as a new constituency right now. By the way, that's exactly what he realizes and why he's going up yours. And I think he's got to show them the respect they deserve because he's asking them for their money. And I think Zuck's point of view is, hey, I'm asking you, you don't have to give it to me. If you think we're worth it, give it to me. I'm offering you a great chance, a great opportunity to make some money.
Yeah, he's putting forth the kind of hacker's way, the hacker's ethic, right?
He's not. Yeah.
This analyst said that he felt like this roadshow, going to ask people for these amounts of money, is akin to going to a wedding or a funeral, showing up at a wedding or a funeral not wearing a suit, that it's a sign of disrespect.
Oh, please.
Do you think? Yeah.
He's not wearing the Wall Street uniform, so we're not. Well, I wonder, this analyst, by the way, issued a buy recommendation for Facebook stock. So he's got his moment in the sun.
Isn't that much of a concern.
But yeah, he's still going to give him his money.
And, you know, would you rather invest in the new CEO of Yahoo in a tie?
No,
or
exactly.
The CEO of AOL in a tie, or exactly. Steve Jobs in a T-shirt and or a turtleneck and Mark Zuckerberg in a hoodie?
Right.
Exactly.
It seemed like a cultural clash, right? Like New York, Wall Street versus the Valley.
It was also kind of, it was ageist, reverse ageist. It was kid. You don't know what you're doing.
You don't wear a hoodie to a, you didn't bring a knife to a gunfight, did you?
Yeah.
Right.
Henry Blodgett did a very, 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 very long post. It was good. Just recounting how Zuckerberg, you know, didn't want to go public. And if it hadn't been for the 500 rule, which is basically gone now with the Jobs Act, you know, may not have. And the company could have stayed private forever. I mean, he resigned himself to it, and he's going to do it, and he's going to get benefits from it. He's going to get, you know, liquid assets and a marketable commodity for buying things. But the hassle is high, and the issue for him was control. So he managed to keep control and go public at the same time. So F you, I'm wearing a hoodie.
Right on. And speaking of modern times.
Better a hoodie than that shirt you have on, Leo. So
hey, this is
marital discord.
Computers on it. You don't like this?
I wouldn't invest in you with that on.
No, good. You're probably right. So this is a sign of the times. If you would doubt it in any way that Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were no longer together, she's renamed her Twitter account. She used to be Mrs. Kutcher. Now she's just Demi. And apparently has put a rather provocative photo. I can't tell because it's behind her tweets. The tweets are hiding something that it looks pretty exciting and exotic.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I know.
Right-click, show background.
I know how to get it.
Sorry.
Not a recent picture to me. Okay, just saying. That's kind of sad, though. I mean, but don't. Okay, so just a tip. By the way, Piers Morgan, when he's interviewing her, says you could change it to Mrs. Morgan. I don't think she accepted the proposal.
Mm. Demi follows you? Look at you, Leo. Rocking it.
Hey, you know, we're just friends. We're just friends.
All right.
Well, you picked right up on that one.
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
Isn't that what people do, though? On Girls, that show, that new show on HBO, she tweets on the end of the second episode.
All adventurous women do.
Yeah. It has something to do with venereal disease, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then immediately after, there's an analysis of the fact that she follows like 1,000 people and has like 4 followers. It's pretty funny.
I paused it. I looked.
Did you?
I did.
That's the new thing. You go, oh, let's see. Oh, Demi's only following 246 people, and I'm one of them.
Look at you.
Just want to say.
It's the shirt.
She likes the shirt, Mr. Jarvis.
Oh.
I'm just saying. And to me, whatever those boots are you're wearing, I like those. Just, you know, to return the favor. That's like 30 years ago to me, really. And then
the greatest One of the greatest moments she ever had, I remember this, when she was on, I think, was it Vanity Fair on the cover, basically nude, body painted.
Oh, yeah.
And then she took the rag that she'd used to clean herself off, the washcloth, and gave it to David Letterman. And he swooned, as well he should have.
You know, if you're a sex symbol, work it, baby. Work it. You know, don't be apologetic. Go, you want my sweat? Why not?
We're going to take get that dog face back on you, Leo.
I actually interviewed her many, many years ago when she was still in General Hospital.
Well, wait. Now, what could the possible tech angle have been, Leo?
Oh, this is when I was a general. Like I have a previous career in media.
Ah, okay.
And this is when I was just
doing
a general.
Cheap celebrity stuff.
Cheap like celebrity stuff. Exactly. If I'd been smart, I would have started a magazine, but no.
No, it was smarter not to, believe me.
Was it E or Us? What was it? Entertainment EW. Weekly, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's the, let's see here, the original cover.
Right above the Osborne.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. And over there is the trial cover. It was a horrible, horrible cover.
I liked Entertainment Weekly. In fact, when I was a DJ interviewing people like Demi Moore, I used it for research.
Oh. I have Entertainment Weekly's top 10 things we love this week on my iPad. I kind of love it.
See? Yeah.
This was the original cover. With
you're Katie trying to Lang. Do an intellectual.
Well, that was the mistake. They didn't tell me that they'd put it in every Kmart and Caldor in America.
Right.
And so, man, did this cover come back? Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't get what you the mission.
No, this was the original prototype cover.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Hmm? Was that Michael Jackson?
The Wonder Years.
Oh, it's Fred.
The Wonder Years. Fred Savage.
Fred Savage.
He was adorable.
Well, still is. It's quite adorable.
But then he hit puberty and it got weird. But he was really cute as a kid. Sorry.
Back to TV. It all comes back to TV.
Yes, it goes back to TV, I'm telling you.
We are the TV generation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a tip, a tool, and the number of the week. But first, a word from Squarespace.com. What a great place to get your website going. It's hosting, the best hosting you can get anywhere. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. And, you know, lately I've also been talking about the fact that it's more secure because they run the hosting, the software, they keep it up to date. All the vulnerabilities that our sites and other sites are prey to with, you know, running PHP and Apache and all that, not on Squarespace. It's locked down. So unless you are prepared to manage your server and keep it secure, I highly recommend Squarespace.com. Managed servers, never run out of bandwidth, really reasonable price. And then there's this great software on top of it that lets you make a unique site, great templates, themes, 85-plus professionally designed styles from the biggest brand names and designers. Photo galleries are just gorgeous if you're a photographer, with Lightbox integration, hover effects, automatic image resizing. They've got an iOS and an Android app. I love that. So it's easy to post, easy to moderate. They'll import from the existing APIs of Movable Type, WordPress, TypePad, and Blogger, but they'll also export back out, so you're never stuck. And that import is very thorough. I mean, it gets all the links, all the images, all the comments, everything. I can go on and on. I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is just click that green try it free button on Squarespace.com, and you've got the run of the place for 2 weeks for no cost. You don't even have to give them a credit card. Just boom, you could do anything you want. If you decide you want to buy, take a look at the pricing. They've revamped their pricing. It's much simpler and, frankly, much more affordable. $8 a month for the basic plan, $16 a month for unlimited pages, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. And by the way, when you sign up for the annual plan, you get a free custom domain. They'll even do the setup so that it points to your site. So this really is, from soup to nuts, everything you need at an amazing price. And I have a special offer for you. When you use the offer code TWIG5, you'll get 10% off that first purchase. So get the annual plan, get the free domain registration, get 10% off. You're really saving. Squarespace, great place to set up your next website, squarespace.com. Who are we talking to that did a Squarespace site? We're just talking about that.
Ashley Milne-Tite.
Oh, yeah. Ashley Milne-Tite. Ashley
The broad experience.
Yeah, the broad experience. And you see, she's actually, it's interesting because she could use Squarespace to store the podcast, but instead she uses SoundCloud, also free. So, she, you know, for the storage. So she's really got it.
I've had her watch Twit shows and said that she ought to look at doing video instead of just audio, and then she could use Hangouts.
Can we have her on Twit? What is her what is her specialty?
She worked on a marketplace for some like 7 years,
like finance, businesses. Econ, business. We could use somebody like that.
And yeah, she's great.
I love her voice.
She is wonderful.
Love that.
And the other woman she interviewed on the show with Gina, Ada Benir, is starting a company called Skill Crush, which she doesn't say it this way, but it was really inspired by trying to teach women to code. Because she found it when she learned to code, being around boys and their ways. And they're going to do it a new way. Rather than saying, well, you want to learn Perl. No, you want to learn how to do this task. Whatever you need to learn to do that, we're going to teach you that.
Ah.
So it's two of the businesses out of my class.
Neato.
Really neat.
Gina Trapani, does your resume say you have a computer science degree?
It does, and I do.
Oh, well, all right.
I really do. I can show you my degree. It's somewhere
I was
in here.
Trying to impeach your credibility, but apparently your integrity is 100%.
Don't you ahead of Yahoo, then.
You're even better than Yahoo. That's not saying anything. So Gina has a tip for us.
Yeah, so my tip this week is an app I've been using for a long time now. It's called timehop.com. And I'm surprised I never brought it up on the show before because I really love it.
Ooh.
If you use social media, if you've been using social media pretty regularly for more than a year, this is a really cool app. Basically, what it does is it's very simple. It sends you an email every day with a digest of everything that you posted across different networks on a given day.
What a good idea.
So, I mean, it sounds kind of like, you know, first I was like, I get too much email. I don't need this. I signed up for it. So I use Foursquare, Facebook, and Twitter pretty regularly. Yeah. It doesn't support Google Plus yet. And you get this email and it says, you know what? A year ago, May 9th was a Monday. It was 65 degrees and sunny. What? And I checked in at the San Diego airport, the San Francisco airport, the Moscone Center. It was Google I.O.
You were
so a year ago today. Yeah, we were at Google I.O. So it's a really neat way to just kind of get reminded of things. I have a terrible memory. I have a really bad sense of time, memory-wise. Like, was that 2 years ago? Was it 3 years ago? Was it a year ago? But
I need it for yesterday.
Yeah, seriously. But you know, you just get reminded of things, especially if you use Foursquare. He's like, oh, that time I went to that place with a friend. And if you start like leaving pictures places too, you just get this really nice memory of places that you've been, things that you've done, thoughts you've had, articles that you liked enough to tweet or share on Facebook. You know, you kind of get to revisit a year later and remember what that was like. So it's a really cool service. It's something that it fulfills a need that I think is really important and something I'm trying to really do with ThinkUp, which is like deriving meaning from all these little tracks we leave around the internet and these different, these different streams of information that just kind of flow down and disappear. This is a cool, kind of simple, fun way to just say, hey, this is where you were a year ago. And the emails are just well written. The copy's well written. They also have little facts about what happened on this day a year ago. So
I'm just going to get a daily email now from them saying this is what you were up to last year.
Yeah, May 9th last year, right. You checked in these places. You tweeted this.
I dread. My mind's going to say, this is what you were mad about last year.
Yeah.
Exactly. Jeff will get to relive all his rants.
No, that's Hulk, timehulk.com. They sell your last Hulk moment.
This is one of the first big hacks with Foursquare's API. So it was built originally on Foursquare, but it works on Twitter and Facebook as well.
So now it says, thanks. We're preparing your emails. I did the whole thing. If you've got content, you'll get your first email in the morning. And this just makes you, I think this is created by the Consortium of Social Networks because this just encourages you to post more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. And it makes you, to me, I feel like I'm putting like a little message in a bottle on my future self. You know, like today, President Obama's announcement. A year from now, I'm going to feel really happy about that.
Finally, again. Somebody's going to read your social postings.
Yeah.
You.
Me. Just 365 days from now.
Because I often wonder, what are we putting all this stuff out for? Because nobody cares, but like we do.
Right. Like, what are we doing? Right.
Facebook realized that. The timeline is not for anybody but you.
Yep. It's true.
So this is like the timeline plus. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I like
exactly.
It. Although, actually, I have all those things hooked up to the timeline, so the timeline could do the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Timehop.com. Jeff, you've got three numbers to choose from.
I'm going
to
pick this one. I'm going to pick because some news just happened moments ago in one of them. The Pebble watch, the e-ink watch on Kickstarter, passed $10 million.
Jeez Louise!
Wow.
$10 million. Now, here's the other news, folks. Sorry, It's over.
It's sold out.
They capped it at 85,000 watches.
Yeah, I got mine.
And so I did too. I got mine.
Sold out.
I was going to buy one more 1 minute ago, and it just sold out. It just passed 85,000 watches, which is just pretty amazing.
Well, wait a minute. If you pledge 1,000 or more, you can get 10 pebbles.
Yes, you can do
that. So you know I should do that for everybody at Twit. What is the pebble? What is the pebble?
Pebble is an e-ink watch with an API, so you can change the face and change what it shows. And so it's just genius. Why wasn't this thought of before?
Well, I've seen e-ink watches before. I think Philippe Starck.
There are others. There are absolutely others, but it's amazing. So what was genius about it was they couldn't get any cash from anybody, and so they went to Kickstarter and
it's
they
the most
asked
successful
for
Kickstarter project of all
five
time.
Miles. They asked for $100,000 and they got $10 million.
That's VC money. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh,
money.
Easy. That's more
money.
Than
they own. They still own the entire company. They got the best neat. Market research
Good
possible. They're using their customers' capital to build this. You know, it's a beautiful thing. The only yes, but here is what if they miscalculated the manufacturing cost?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's
there's
the thing.
Actually a lot of yes buts because I have to say there's no protection on
Kickstarter.
No, there's
not. There's not, and Kickstarter says that. So once they pass in 9 days, the time limit, and all that $10 million goes to them, you know, Libya, here they come.
Right. They can walk
That's
away.
Possible. Yeah. Yes, they can.
Or more likely, I don't think they'll walk away, but more likely there could be a hitch.
There could be a hitch.
A hitch in their get-along.
The worst that I could imagine is, A, that what they thought the manufacturing process would be isn't, or B, there's a cost overrun, and with 85,000 units, that's deadly.
Right.
Right. And it was cheap to get it, right? It was only, Leo, what was it, 100?
I think I bought the $115 one, which means I did 125 so I could choose from Arctic White, Cherry Red, Voter's Choice, or Jet Black.
And I, being bland, got the $115.
You got the black one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I might pledge 1,000 at this point. Do you think people who work here would want one of these? Yeah. Chad? Yeah. Liz? Yeah. Yeah. John, yeah.
Anything for free.
You don't work here anymore, Eileen.
I know. I'm not going to get it anymore.
See, this is how I'm trying to keep Eileen. Gee, for $1,000, every one of you could have a Pebble watch. I wonder if Molly Wood would be doing that for her employees. Hey, look at this. For $1,250, that's sold out. You can get a custom. I could have a special Twit watch face. That would have been cool. 100 watches are $10,000. That's sold out.
31 backers.
31 people paid $10,000.
Yeah, that's incredible.
They're resellable, right? There's now a market. So now that's the last you'll ever buy this watch at $115. That's the other reason I think they had to cap it. They were eating into their market.
Right.
You know, the reason
so you think it's going to cost $200 or $300?
Oh yeah.
Incoming caller ID, email, calendar alerts, Facebook messages, Twitter, weather alerts. But I got to point out, this doesn't exist. Nope. And you're kind of, because I'll tell you, I've participated in a number of Kickstarters that I still haven't received anything for.
I've got some. I have my little glyph, the thing that holds my iPhone for a tripod.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. I have my shoulder strap for my briefcase was one I got from there. I ordered, we'll see if it comes, the new iPhone case that actually remembers all your credit cards and affinity cards in one card.
And all of these you've received?
No, I haven't gotten the last one yet.
I did some dice that I'm never going to get. With some game.
Very importantly, no. The best thing I got was this. Hold on.
The glyph was good. That was a good bet.
This is
Startup Fever,
a board game about startup.
Yeah, see, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
I can't even find the dice game anymore on the Kickstarter site.
I got hits and misses. I funded books and albums that I've gotten. I funded Zay Frank's show.
And that was good, but see, you can't. So this is it, Dice Age. It was like a new game. I think I pledged $10 or something. It wasn't.
I pledged to Asteroid, which was a project to send an Android phone into space and develop an app and take photos. And it didn't work out. And the person who ran the project just emailed all the backers and said, you know what, you gave me money, I didn't fulfill my end of the bargain, let me know if you want me to donate your donation, your backing money to Charity Water, or if you want it back.
Oh, that's nice.
Or what. I mean, which I felt like was the most gracious way to handle a situation. He's like, you know, I just didn't know what needed to go into this. I thought it was going to be easier than it was, and I'm sorry, and what do you want me to do with your money? I can refund it. Or, which he doesn't, you know, he didn't have to do.
Do you think Kickstarter has any obligation here?
I think Kickstarter needs to need to come up with some sort of plan B. Like, they should let a person who's starting a project say, if, you know, give backers the option for me to funnel their donation to charity if this doesn't work out. You know, that there's got to be some sort of structure for failure, because it seems like this is the refrain of a lot of people, that they're donating, you know, they're backing projects and they're not getting anything.
The first thing I ever backed on here was Diaspora, right? Yeah. The Facebook clone. I don't know what's happened with that.
They're still around.
This thing is got funded in June of last year, and I still haven't received anything. I'm probably out my money.
Yeah.
I mean, you can send a message. Say,
what the hey?
What's going on?
What the hey, man? Mm-hmm. So $10 million for the Pebble. I better get my Pebble. I'll be mad. If I don't get that, I'll be mad.
Well, this is such a high-profile project. They've got to ship something.
Right.
Or it'll be a big story that they didn't.
We could all get a pet rock.
Real quickly, because we're running late, I'll just mention my tool is the Google Plus client for iOS has been updated. You know, I thought it was... I read that it was going to be universal. It is not. It is an iPhone app. But Mike Elgin does a little piece on his Google Plus account in which he talks about how nice it looks. And you have to say, it does look nice on the iPad. It's still, you're doubling the size and all of that. But it actually is kind of pretty. They've got a new styling. Pictures look great. Videos look great. So it takes advantage of the iPad's screen real estate in a nice way. I wish, though, that look how bad the text looks on the
iPad. I don't understand why it's so hard.
Text could be done right. That's something that should be vector graphiced and should be able to work easily.
Or just let me have the web version. The iPad's big. Let me have the web version.
Yeah, why not? Why not just do it?
Because it doesn't let you. It forces you to go to a mobile version.
That's lame.
And it's not as good. It doesn't do things.
They're so close now. I have a feeling that soon there'll be an iPad version of this.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it. It's so close. It really does look good. So Google Plus, even if, you know, if you have an iPhone, of course, you'll get an update. But if you haven't put it on the iPad, put it on the iPad. The new one's actually pretty nice. Pretty nice. Ladies and gentlemen, we do this show this week in Google every Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, 2000 UTC, 2000 hours. On twit.tv, but you can always download audio and video after the fact from our website and everywhere better podcasts are. Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. That's her blog. And, of course, thinkupapp.com. And she'll be gay all over San Diego tonight.
I will be happy and gay. And I just wanted to thank Eileen for being one of the best producers on the planet, making the show so great for so long. We really appreciate it. Eileen, you're the best.
I didn't want to break it on either, but you beat me to it, Eileen. Without you, the show wouldn't have be possible. All the help that Eileen gives behind the scenes, all of the wonderful support and the great attitude and the professionalism, and don't leave, darn it.
She will be missed.
I'm going to have a rant. I'm going to have a Hulk moment here and start bashing you into the store.
I tried to give her a Pebble watch. That didn't work.
This has been truly an honor. It's my favorite show on Twit, and...
Well, you made it. Really, Eileen's producing really, as I think Gina pointed out before the show began, to put us in a whole different level.
Yep.
So thank you, Eileen. Yeah, Eileen is leaving Twit to go. She'll still be doing All About Android, by the way, but she's leaving to go work for Molly Wood and her new show, Always On. So you'll be able to see her doing that. And we have not yet announced her replacement, but I guess by next week we better have one.
You guys will be in good hands.
Yeah, sure. Somebody. We didn't mention Flipboard Android for Flipboard. It's supposed to be for the Galaxy S3, right?
It is,
but it's
not
kind of
official.
Leaked out.
It's a leak, so it doesn't work for all devices.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I didn't. But I have to say, that is one of the few apps that are iOS only that really kind of dominate. And the fact that it's now going to be on Android... Wow, that's a big loss for iOS, I think. I'm not sure how do you get it?
You go, there's an APK on the XDA forums.
Ah. And if you don't know what that means, then you don't get it.
Yeah. Download the APK.
From XDA.
Use it. There's some devices that don't really work, but people are using it on tablets, and it seems to be working fine there. Although it's weird because it's not a tablet app. It's for the phone.
So some guy used AirDroid to extract the APK.
Yes. At the event or something.
Bad man. Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com. That's where he blogs, and he's also a professor of journalism. If you're ever so lucky to go to City University of New York, you could study with him and his very strange hands.
The office. I was trying to point to the office, but I got a problem. I'm deciding to go to a new dance. I don't know.
Thank you all for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of This Week in Google. Stay tuned. TNT is coming up next. Bam! Ba-da-bam!
Aww.
Ba-da-boom! Aww. Hey, John, could you give me the Squarespace copy off my desk? Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good luck. God bless you. Thank you for everything. We'll see you on Android.
See you on the internets. And the Android,
I'm so glad you're still doing all about Android.
Oh, yeah.
Comic-Con.
Leo said I could do it, so I will do it.
Oh, we're thrilled she's doing it.